For decades, Ability 360, under multiple names, has been a leader in disability advocacy in the Valley. And after 20 years as the organization's leader, Philip Pangrazio is retiring from the position. I spoke with Pangrazio recently on the show about the accomplishments that were achieved under his watch, but he also mentioned some unmet goals.
Maybe specifically around young adults and youth with disabilities, there's a huge need for more services and transition services to transition young adults, especially around employment and creating better employment opportunities for youth with disabilities.
Beginning on June 1st, Pangrazio's successor, Christopher Rodriguez, takes over as president and CEO of Ability 360. I spoke to them earlier and began by asking what drew him to Phoenix.
What was exceptionally attractive about Ability 360 to me was just the level of innovation that it has exercised in order to meet its mission of helping people with disabilities be independent. And just the kind of outside of the box thinking that clearly has been promoted at Ability 360 just is exceptional. And I really want to be a part of that. And I want to try and contribute some of the skills that I've picked up along the way to continuing that.
Chris, I understand a member of your family is a member of the disability community. How did that affect you and what your goals were, and also how you can relate to some of the challenges folks have?
So I'm actually the younger brother to a gentleman. It's just him and I and my folks that has fairly significant intellectual and developmental disabilities. And kind of growing up alongside a sibling with a disability, it really puts you at a unique, somewhat unique vantage point to observe the many challenges that families with people with disabilities and people with disabilities themselves all too often encounter. And kind of witnessing that and growing up kind of with a natural inclination towards policy and law, I decided very early on that I kind of wanted to marry those two, one being fighting for the rights of people with disabilities and helping contribute to breaking down barriers in that community, and law, and decided to go into policy specifically affecting the lives of people with disabilities. So really, when you ask the question, how has that affected my life? I mean, it really has sculpted what I've decided to do with my life. And I've been privileged enough to be put into positions to, again, kind of help me better understand the disability experience, which is something very important, especially because I myself do not identify as a person with a disability. So that experience has just, been life-changing for me to have my brother around and to witness those things and to be able to contribute to breaking those barriers.
Well, Chris, when it comes to leading an organization like this, even with all the other work you've done, do you think it matters to have as much of a personal experience with that as possible? I mentioned because the person you're going to be succeeding has a disability himself and has led the organization for a couple of decades. And obviously he relates to it on the most personal level. You obviously have it in the sense that you've worked for it as well. Does that provide a different kind, different level of insight? The fact you've had some personal experience with this as well, or does it just take a leader who's really committed?
I think it takes a little bit of both. Certainly I have so much respect and admiration for Phil. Certainly some big shoes to fill, that's for sure. And I do think that there is a differentiation between people who have a lived experience, such like Phil and like many of the people that work for Ability 360. There is a difference. There's a heightened level of understanding that you just can't really have unless you have a disability. That being said, I have certain types of experience by means of being the sibling to my brother, but certainly not the type of experience that he has had. One of the things, I don't think it's imperative necessarily to have a disability yourself per se, but if you do not, and you're put in the position to represent a certain type of population that you yourself may not be directly a part of, I think it's all that much more important to be able to sit back and learn from those who do. And it's certainly something that I've done over my career and something that I certainly plan to do as the president and CEO of Ability 360 is be as connected to those who we represent as possible, and to never take for granted the fact that I I don't fully appreciate the disability experience as a result of not having a disability, but making sure that I'm communicating as best I can, and more than anything, listening to the community that our organization represents.
Chris, without this being overly broad, what are some of the biggest challenges that still remain for disabled folks in the independent living aspect? What are the most significant barriers that still remain?
So much progress has been made in the disability space over the last few decades that has been absolutely remarkable and has been the product of so many incredible advocates, the majority of which are people with disabilities themselves. So, I don't want to disparage any of that. That being said, we still have a long ways to go. We kind of stand on the shoulders of giants. But some of the areas that are exceptionally challenging, inclusive education is a big one. Certainly one that I've done some work on is making sure that people with disabilities have the opportunity for competitive, integrative employment, and to get away from segregated disability-specific workshops. One of the most, I think, startling things that so many people are unaware of is that it is still legal in the United States to pay a person with disabilities sub-minimum wage as a result of them having a disability, which is a pretty archaic thing that still exists. It's called sub-minimum wage. It's often referred to as 14C employment. It's kind of where in the tax law it exists, in the wage and hour laws. So employment is certainly a big one. Transportation is another gigantic issue among the disability community. You can work so hard to help an individual with a disability get employment, but if you can't get them there, that poses a question. Another big thing is, as the disability movement has done such a great job, especially in more progressive states, in getting people out of congregate type settings or institutional type settings into community placement, we find that once you get that individual out into the community, because of certain types of laws related often around their benefits, they don't have the opportunity to find affordable housing. So housing is a big one. So, it goes on and on and on. And despite the fact that we've made such great progress, these issues still are persistent within the disability community, but we're certainly doing a lot of great work, especially at Ability 360, to address those little by little to make progress.
Chris Rodriguez taking over as president and CEO of Ability 360 here in Phoenix. Chris, thank you for the time and good luck.
Thank you so much.